Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle's with me. Oh, it's that time of the year. It's time to rank some quarterbacks this week. I guess, should we talk a little bit about training camp, all that beautiful rookie camp news that we've got, Kyle? Just the wealth of news that came out of camp this week.
I mean, of course, the very first thing we hear is that Caleb was picked off in his first pass.
After we ended last episode, like, please just for
yeah,
once.
You had to know that was coming. You just had to. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot to talk about with one camp. And other than that, it is delightful. It is delightful that Ben Johnson yanked the team out of seven and the starters out of 7-on-7 for not getting lined up correctly. Like, it's kind of funny because neither of us have ever had much respect for, like, the Greg Schianos of the world, where they're just, like, petty tyrants for the sake of being petty tyrants and to just, like, prove, you know, the Urban Meyers or whatever, where, you know, these are professionals. These are grown-ass men, you know, and they, you know, it's like, we'll do more push-ups than you. You have to do this, and we'll have to wear a suit and tie on every road trip, blah, blah, blah. And the players just don't connect with that. So I think it's important to distinguish between, like, just like a pure red ass and a guy like Ben Johnson, who sounds like he is very, 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 like, perhaps insanely detail oriented. And I think that is what this team needs, because I don't think any word defines the 2024 Bears more than sloppy. They were just sloppy. Like, agreed. There were so many, they should have been so much better than they were. And then obviously the most notable example being Tyrique Stevenson and the fail Mary, but like, so many different places where they were just inches away from being good, and they just lacked the discipline, the technique, the details. And so I think we're both welcoming to hear that Ben Johnson's literally yanking guys off the field if they're not doing what he's expecting them to do.
Yeah, I'm definitely down with it. It's just so funny that, like, all we asked for is, like, no bad news, like, on the first day. And instantly, sorry, the entire first team offense needs to sit the fuck down.
Yeah, great. And to be clear, we're not immediately, you know, like, I'm not immediately panicking or anything either. Yeah. But, like, and the first week of camp especially is install. But, like, I'm giving them 2 weeks before I need to at least start hearing that, like, yeah, the offense won the day today. The offense looked good today. So-and-so looked crisp. Because I guess for me, the ultimate example is, do you remember Joe Burrow's second year when he was coming back from the ACL injury?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, the first week of Bengals camp, it was just disaster report after disaster report about how bad Joe Burrow and the offense looked. And we were like, oh, my God, is Joe Burrow going to bust? And so this last year when I was getting a little concerned about the Bears, you know, training camp stuff, I was like, well, did the Bengals ever turn it around? So I went back to, like, the athletic practice reports about from Bengals camp that year. And really by, like, the third week even of that training camp, the Bengals offense was starting to look really good. And so, like, there was, you know, I read an article where it was like, their early struggles in camp gained a lot of attention, but those are long since past them. So that's the kind of narrative that I need to have by the end of Bears camp. So you got, like, a week, maybe two, before I start being like, all right, guys, come on.
Yeah, if they don't turn it around by, you know, this time next week, I think I'm going to be on here just crying, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, we're not going to.
It's not that bad, and I'm just going to be like,
right. Yeah, we're not going to write off Caleb Williams or anything because of training camp struggles. We're not going to sit here and tell you that they don't matter at all when they might not. But, like, we've said that too many times, so we're just going to be like, you know what? Eat at Arby's. Maybe this will work out. Maybe this is already the end times. We'll see. So,
yeah.
Anyways, all right. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's get these rankings on. Travis has been trying to get me to do this shit since, like, the day after the draft. I have put it off as long as I possibly can, but we gonna rank these fuckers. Just as we did last year, we did more tiers than straight rankings. I think Travis and I title our tiers a little differently, but the principle behind them is mostly the same. So we'll go into that.
Yeah,
for me,
before we go, we should mention, we mentioned at the end of last week, but with these rankings, they are not typical, I guess, of what you would usually see from a quarterback ranking from, like, The Athletic or ESPN or whatever, CBS Sports. We are ranking these guys based on if we needed them for just this upcoming season for 25-26.
Yeah.
completely irrespective of contracts. Yeah. We're not talking about future potential. It is just this year. Which quarterback would I rather have? And basically the way I think about it for my tiers is I'm going to put you in the same tier if both teams would say no, even without the contracts, even without without no money, without future projection. If both teams would say, nah, we're good with the guy we've got, you're in the same tier. And then those guys, I kind of get more granular for how they're ranked in number order.
Yeah. So for me, anyways, we start off with the S tier. And I didn't put Patrick Mahomes entirely in his own separate category like I did last year. But like the S tier for me is can carry a team to a Super Bowl. And then my A tier is can lead a team to a Super Bowl. And those two things may sound the same, but they're not, in my opinion. Can carry a team to the Super Bowl. I'm a Mahomes where we saw just like a completely an offense completely bereft of talent pretty much at all of the skill positions. And he still, even though it was ugly, he still physically carried them to a Super Bowl. For me, I can lead a team to the Super Bowl is more like they need a little help. They need a little help. They kind of need a good offense around them at this stage in their career, maybe. But if they have that, they are more than capable of just going off and going off consistently. It's not my B tier is what I would call above the Flacco line. And the Flacco line, not as obviously current Joe Flacco, but for me, the Flacco line is this is a guy who's mostly more good than great, but he is capable of like one random month of greatness and could win a Super Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me. That's a little different to me than the can lead or can carry a team to the Super Bowl, where it's like can carry is literally just like can overcome a whole bunch of shit around him and drag his team well beyond what they should be because he's just that good. Can lead is guy, you give him a good team, he can absolutely be the driving force on why they win the Super Bowl. B is more if you have him, give him a good team and this fucker gets hot at the right time, it could happen. And then that, like those three tiers, that's the tiers. Those are the tiers you want to be in for me. After that, you get the C tier, which is quality starter without sizzle. He's no longer in this tier, but this is the Kirk Cousins tier where it's like you can put up good numbers. You can make the playoffs. And we all know it's never going to amount to anything because you just lack the chutzpah or something. You lack that pizzazz that enables the Flacco run. My D tier then is replacement level starter. Those are just your bottom 10 NFL starter guys. You're not like a guy that's not, you know, needs to wash out of the league, but you're not going to do much. F is just guys who are just straight up shitty. And then we have one category still of guys that are unproven youngsters that I'm still not quite sure where I come down on yet. The hedge tier, if you will. What have you got, Travis, for tiers?
I think our only, basically the same thing. I would say so. My S tier is basically you have a very good chance to win the Super Bowl with these guys, not necessarily be, I guess, carried by these guys directly. The only guy I think can do that right now is still Pat Mahomes, evidenced by Josh Allen being my number two and still failing to drag the Bills to the Super Bowl, despite Pat having maybe the worst possible situation he could. My A tier is basically exactly identical to yours. We're in complete lockstep. It's like, you're going to need some help. There are some drawbacks here, but you're like feeling really confident that you can get to a Super Bowl with this guy as your quarterback. The B tier is like a solid, strong quarterback. Just like you said, a guy who, if he gets hot at the end of the season, 100% this guy can win a Super Bowl. But it's not a guy you're going into the season and saying, oh, we have like Super Bowl aspirations, Super Bowl or bust. These are usually quarterbacks for teams that are like, if like two, three things rolls right, like, and we are hot going into the playoffs, we have a real chance. Nobody's going to laugh you out of the room, I guess, if you say these guys could win a Super Bowl. And then, yeah, my C tier, same exact thing. I don't even have a description for it. It's just like, you're not pissed that this is your quarterback, but you're not like happy. You're just like, well, they're there. Like, you know, it's usually a transitional year quarterback or like, we're going to win some games, but like, I'm not We have no real aspirations.
I feel like the best way to describe the C tier is it's the starting quarterback that if you had to pick your team to beat in an AFC or NFC championship game, you'd want it to be this quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you just know, like, they're not going to do it. Like, they're just not going to, they could, and, you know, you're not picking from bad quarterbacks usually by the time you get to the final four, but like, this is the one you're picking out of the four that are left because he's the one that you're least scared of because you just know he's not going to do it. So yeah. That's the C tier for me.
Now, notably, one thing I want to say before we go into this, last year, down to C tier for quarterbacks for me, 19 quarterbacks. This year, 26 quarterbacks, C tier and up.
Where am I at? So I've got 5, 8... 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I'm at 19 through C tier, so I'm a little less generous than you.
I have some, I think the difference is probably in, I have the second year quarterbacks above that tier. I think I would rather have those guys.
Okay, see, I kind of just have the second year quarterbacks outside of the tiers in general, so that's probably, okay, so if I were to include the second year guys in there, which I don't know that, there's only two of them that I would even have the potential.
That's true.
To be,
well, we'll talk. I don't want to get into that. I know why you only have two of them in there.
Okay.
My D tier historically has been the same thing, but there is a tiny chance that this quarterback is C tier or above, but almost certainly they are in F tier. For some reason, there's always one or two of these quarterback situations, and we're really going to talk about it. Because last year I fucking nailed it. And then, yeah, we've got F tier, which is just where we get to laugh at people for having these quarterbacks.
Okay. So I think we're going to start at the top and work our way back because I think most of the debate's going to be in the middle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the fun's kind of at the end. So I think S tier, need we say anything more about Patrick Mahomes? Must we waste airtime on Patrick Mahomes or why he's up here?
The only thing I'll say is I do still have Pat in his own tier, only because when I thought about it, I was like, if the Chiefs called the Bills, like in this situation, and you know,
and offered Mahomes for Allen,
wouldn't the Bills say yes? And wouldn't the Chiefs say absolutely not? Like, in my brain, I'm just like, I think the Bills do that in a heartbeat.
I think you're probably right.
So I still have Pat above him.
I would still say Pat. Okay. And then the rest of S tier for me is Josh Allen. Same as last year. I don't think there's anybody else who can even lay as close to a claim of being the second best quarterback in the NFL. I think Allen is as far from the competition for number two as Mahomes is from the competition for number one.
Burrow had a crazy year last year. He blew my expectations, and I still had him at three last year.
But we were
like, oh, I don't know. You know, like this could be a bad year. Like, what if he fell off? What if his mojo doesn't work anymore? You know, like,
I think with Burrow, my main concern last year was just that he'd been hurt so much. And like, he's never been a guy who wows you on sheer physical talent the way Allen does. So I just thought like, he doesn't have that much more margin of error if he has another lingering rotator cuff or elbow thing. And so Burrow, I'm so glad he stayed healthy. He had an amazing season. Obviously the Bengals wasted it because Bengals, and they're off to the races again in that department. I could see your argument for Burrow there, but for me, Allen is still number two, just because of especially what he can do with his legs on top of what he can do with his arms, and the fact that he is. Have you ever really looked at the historical context of Josh Allen and how many fucking touchdowns that man scores?
I have not, but yeah, I do agree. By the way,
absurd how many touchdowns Josh Allen generates. So yeah, and then is three Burrow for you then?
Three for me is Burrow. I got Joe all locked in at number three. He's comfy there.
I have Lamar three, Burrow four, but that to me is probably more than anywhere else on the list. Like, I don't care which one of those guys you put up. Like, they are.
I have no beef with that. I have no beef.
Lamar, Burrow, and then the final guy in the S tier for me is still Justin Herbert. He made the playoffs with Greg Roman. I feel like I've said all I needed to say. I know who else is in your S tier, Travis.
That is the most insane. I feel like you're only doing this now because you're like, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm gonna hold on to this for as long as I possibly can, because you can't stomach the last 2 years of this. Jalen Hurts being above Justin Herbert for me, and now he's won a Super Bowl. I think you will have Justin Herbert in this tier for as long as possible. But I will say this. Justin Herbert is like so close to S tier for me. I am thinking about putting him in there because he really did have that year. And like the job that Harbaugh did and that Greg Roman did, like, you know, adjusting his offense to really,
I mean, this is a man who has had a 5,000 yard passing season. Let's also,
he did. I mean, and last year per pass, all of those numbers shot up. Like, he had a fantastic season, but he had that collapse in the playoffs. That's unfortunate. But I mean, if I'm going to hold that against the guy, I better hold it against Lamar Jackson, right? Just like setting the ball on the ground and rolling it to the opposing team. Like, it seems like these guys do have like the yips or something when they get to the postseason. Yeah. Just these complete collapses are remarkable. But yeah, the last guy in S tier for me is Jalen Hurts. My love for Jalen Hurts is well documented. I am shocked by the slander of Jalen Hurts that still exists.
He's still number one for me in the A tier. Like, he's literally the highest guy that I have in that next tier. My thing with Jalen Hurts still is nothing to say with how he is, I guess, okay. If this ranking is literally just how we expect them to perform in their current situation in 2025, then Jalen Hurts is S tier for me. But what you were specifically saying about like the trade situation and stuff, I don't know. The Eagles offense is so perfectly tailored to Jalen Hurts and so perfectly maximizes what Jalen Hurts can do. And he does still require, I think, a specific style of play. It was very funny, actually, kind of early on to see Kellen Moore sort of try to get him to throw over the middle of the field more, and then just eventually, kind of like the way it always happened in Seattle, where Seattle would bring in a new offensive coordinator every couple of years with Russell Wilson, and they'd make a bunch of hype about how they were going to do things differently, and then the offense always just morphed into the same Russell Wilson offense. The same thing kind of happened last year with the Eagles. It just kind of morphed into the same Jalen Hurts offense and it's a very fucking good offense. That said, I don't know that you can run the Jalen Hurts offense. Well, and sort of the year before we saw it, when the Eagles offensive line slipped just a little bit, when their run game slipped just a little bit, we did see Jalen Hurts kind of stagnate a little bit at times. And this offense is just it's so perfect for what he does, but it's that offense that's so perfect for what he does. I don't know that there's a lot of other offenses that are perfect for what he does. And again, it is a meaningless philosophical debate, because the question we had when we were discussing Jalen Hurts last year was, I just don't know that you can win a Super Bowl with this specific offense. Well, you fucking did. So that question's answered.
Oh, you
so like as long as he's hard on the Eagles, you know, as long as he's on the Eagles, I don't know why I'm not trying to ding the guy either, but it's specifically that question you ask of like, would this team trade this guy for this? And I don't know. I think there's a lot of teams where the Eagles probably would have said no because they're happy with their guy, but I think the Eagles could do a lot of amazing things with Justin Herbert. I don't know that the Chargers could do a lot of amazing things with Jalen Hurts. And I think that's more of a Chargers thing than a Jalen Hurts thing, but nonetheless, it's a thing.
Two issues with that sentiment. One is that team beat the shit out of the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't a win. Jalen Hurts himself destroyed the Chiefs, and that defense is good. Like you say, Pat Mahomes carried them. It was really the Chiefs defense that got them to point.
You are correct. Yes.
Like this was a total deconstruction of the second best team in the NFL. The other thing is, I think what you just said, like, ooh, you need a specific offense for this guy to work. I think that's true of Burrow and Lamar without question. Like, honestly, if we're going to go by that, I would put Justin Herbert below Josh Allen. I think he would be my number three probably, because I think he's a lot more malleable than Burrow.
I think I think that's why so many QB film Twitter guys are higher on Justin Herbert than the rest, because I think they really get hung up on the platonic ideal drop back passer quarterback. And Justin Herbert absolutely is a guy that I think you could drop into any one of the 32 teams in the NFL, and most offensive coordinators would be so happy to have that guy to build around. And I don't know that there's that many that would say the same about Jalen Hurts. But again, that's not a Jalen Hurts knock. That is, if anything, that's a knock on how not creative and not good. Right. 15 to 16 offensive coordinators are at any given situation. But, like, again, it's a moot point because Jalen Hurts, as he is as an Eagle, probably going to be a top five, and at least in terms of efficiency, quarterback again this year. So, I mean, Eagles fans, you know, they could say fuck you to anybody who doesn't have the S tier, and I totally get that. It's just, it is, yeah, it's just, it's the in a vacuum part of it that is still, even last, it was the hang up last year, it's the hang up this year. I still don't know, in a vacuum, can you make Jalen Hurts fit in as many situations as you could a Justin Herbert? To me, the answer is still probably no.
See, I can't even be mad at that argument, because that's, like, rational. That's extremely rational.
I know.
And the slander that I have seen about Jalen Hurts over the last
month. Yeah, I mean, you get
month.
Dumb bullshit like, oh, he's a gay manager, but no, that's not what I fucking think. It's just that, like, the Eagles are a finely tuned buzzsaw.
Yeah.
But it's because they're a finely tuned buzzsaw that I'm just, and it's not, they're, the Eagles carry, the whole thing runs around Jalen Hurts and the threat of what Jalen Hurts can do.
Right.
I've seen so many, the opposite to me is true.
Like, let's say you traded Jalen for Joe Burrow. Does Joe succeed as well on this Eagles team as Jalen? I don't think he does.
I think Joe Burrow does better on the Eagles than Jalen Hurts does on the Bengals. But again,
right. Yes.
That says more about the Bengals than it does Jalen Hurts, you know?
Right. But I think the opposite is true. I think Hurts does much better on the Eagles than Burrow would do on this Eagles.
Yes, exactly. Hurts does better on the Eagles than Burrow would do on the Eagles, but I think Burrow does better on the Eagles than Hurts would do on the Bengals. So I don't know how you quantify that. And that's where I always get hung up on Jalen Hurts. So I stuck him at the top of A tier. And you know what? We're just destined to do this forever. So
we could just copy paste this over to next year. Doesn't matter what happens. We're going to have the same discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, here's
what's great is I'm sure that, like, right now my Subaru is probably on fire because some Eagles fan already knows that I did this and is taking their righteous vengeance on me. And I think that's probably fair. I get it, Philadelphia fans.
Who else do you have in A? Something racist at you as we speak.
Are you done with S tier? Or did you have anyone else in your S tier that I didn't have? You had Hurts, but you did not have Herbert. I had Herbert, but I did not have Hurts. Is there anybody?
Right. Each of us, the other guy is the top of the A tier.
The top of the A tier. Okay, so who else do you have in your A tier? I've only got two other guys in my A tier. What's in your A tier?
I have the same thing, and I know one of them is different for a fact. So okay. My number seven in A tier is CJ Stroud, and honestly, I am not super sure about that one after last year. And I know that, like, if I put him in B tier, I know that it would bear out because the Texans are a fucking dumpster fire right now, but I don't think it would be fair to him. And I don't think it's his fault.
It's not him, we talked about when we were reviewing CJ in the draft, the only Achilles heel was that he was bad under pressure.
Yep.
Except in that amazing Georgia game that he had in the playoff. And then his rookie year, his performance under pressure was very much like a whole season of the Georgia game. But what have I said a million times when talking about quarterbacks on this game is that stats under pressure are inherently unstable. And over a long enough time frame, there's no quarterback who's good under pressure consistently. And what did the Texans do? They put that motherfucker under pressure consistently.
That's right.
So consistent. And it was abysmal. And it was not CJ's fault, but it was a lot of pressure. And when you look at the way their offensive line is constructed, and I don't even think that using the word constructed is fucking fair. I don't think, there was no intelligent design in the Texans. What's been shat onto the Texans depth chart, posing as an offensive line, does not fill me with the warm fuzzies about CJ Stroud looking more like year one CJ Stroud than year two CJ Stroud. And none of that's CJ Stroud's fault, but I also don't think he's going to massively overcome it, which is why he's in my A tier, but he's the bottom of my A tier, which is fine. Eighth best quarterback in the NFL. There's nothing to poke a stick at, but I have Matthew Stafford, the ageless, above him at seven.
That's right. Yeah. You have finally bumped Matt Stafford up into the A tier, which might doom him, but I kept him down.
The only reason he wasn't in the A tier last year is because he was coming off that very injury-riddled season, and I thought, but he's just so you know, this is the year that I'm going to gamble that, like, he is going to be, he's going to be healthy and he's going to be as awesome as he has been. And by doing so, I'm ensuring that he takes the horrific Brett Favre career ending injury.
That's right.
Gets turfed.
Prayers up for Matt Stafford because you finally bumped him up into A tier. I did not. I left him in B tier because I want Matt to just continue on ageless, never getting hurt. He'll be playing until he's 55.
Gotcha. Okay, so who's in your A tier that's not in mine? I'm curious.
Oh, you know exactly who it is. It's Jared fucking Goff, Kyle. Oh, Kyle, last year you shit on Jared Goff. Would you like to know what Jared Goff did last year in response to that?
Are you going
to
read off a bunch of Ben Johnson statistics?
He was with Ben Johnson in 2023, was he not? Did Ben?
And
Johnson
he was with Sean McVay before that.
And reappear. He had 1.3 full more average yards per attempt last year. It was nine average yards per attempt.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy averaged like 10 yards per attempt the year before. So why aren't you doing this shit for Brock Purdy, motherfucker?
You're going to bring up the Iowa State kid. You're going to ask me why I hate Brock Purdy. You know exactly why I hate Brock Purdy, Kyle. All right, we don't speak Brock Purdy's name. My list just says the 49ers, and
we're on what, like 8 fucking years of Jared Goff doing this shit. What's it added? What is it added up to, Travis?
Are we going to talk about Super Bowl wins?
He is the king.
Is that what this is?
No, Jared Goff is the king. And how many turnovers did Jared Goff have in the game that eliminated the Lions?
Why is Josh Allen number two then? Like, if we're going to do this, why is Josh Allen up at number two?
Because he's got
there's
sizzle.
There's a dude who gets
There's
it
no
away.
Sizzle to Jared Goff. That's why he's king of the C tier for old Uncle Kyle here.
What? King of the C tier?
Jared Goff.
For Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is just Kirk Cousins with a surfboard, man.
Oh my God. Kirk Cousins has never had a season close to what Jared Goff has pulled up.
He's never had Ben Johnson.
How about this?
This is all Ben Johnson. Good old Ben Johnson.
So if this season Jared Goff has a similar season, if he is still great,
if he does what
he
did,
you have to bump him up.
Yes. He'll get a nice move to B tier for me.
All right.
If he manages to do something like this without Ben Johnson, in his first year without Ben Johnson or Sean McVay, not his first year, his first year without either of them was his rookie year, and as we know, that was one of the worst rookie seasons of all time.
Truly.
So
now we're not going to blame that on Jared Goff, though.
I'm blaming it. I can make the rules.
You do get to make the rules, but we get to blame that on Jeff Fisher too, right? Like,
I mean, Kirk Cousins had a year where he averaged 9.7 yards per attempt. So.
All right. Okay, all right.
It was on only 48 pass attempts as a rookie, but it did happen. So.
You know what, Jared? I respect you. Also, I do kind of think that the Lions might fall apart a little bit without Ben Johnson.
So.
I hope so. Oh, my God, if the Lions maintain, that is a bad sign for the Bears.
So you got Goff in your A tier. Okay.
I got Goff at 8. You've got Matt Stafford.
So you've got...
and then C.J. Stroud, right?
Yeah, so I've got Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert. Yeah, so I got Stroud at 8.
And we're moving into B tier.
And to be fair, even the tiers do not, because there's a couple guys who are like unproven and they are like out. So the tiers are not necessarily a straight numerical ranking for me, although to this point, yes, they have been. B tier, how many you got in B? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in B. One of yours is Stafford. Is he the top of your B tier?
This is my big one, man. I've got 9 people in this fucking.
That seems about right. It's my biggest, it's my biggest one. B and D are my two.
Last year, by the way, B tier, 4 people for me. Mm. This year, 9. So a lot of people pretty pleased with their quarterback situations. No, my top of B tier is Baker fucking Mayfield.
That is the top of my B tier as well.
Hell yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on how good of a year he had still. So
he has been fantastic. I mean, I undersold him a couple years ago when I said he was going to come back as Rich Gannon, rise like the Phoenix several years from then. It turns out the Browns are even stupider than I thought they were. He recovered from that injury fully, and he's just a great quarterback. Like I have seen talk of him as a sleeper MVP candidate, and I love to see it.
Is there a more lovable team than
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now?
I love that we live in a world where a guy who threw 41 touchdowns last year would be considered a sleeper candidate. Like.
I mean, the Bucs are fun to watch. Yeah. Just all players who I like, it seems like. And yeah, Baker is just, he's such a,
and did that
for a guy who was so hated when he came into the league, you know, just because, you know, he was cocky.
Not by me.
He was
not
in commercials. Me. Like, it seemed like there was a general vibe around the league. They didn't like him. Boy, the Browns made him just like the ultimate face of the NFL after what they did to him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Excellent. Both yeah,
of us have Baker at the top.
B tier. The rest of my B tier, you could rank all of these guys pretty much interchangeably for me. Even when I was listing them out in B tier, I don't even think I was like numerically listing them. I was just like, okay, who else would I put in B tier? So I'm just going to spiel them off real quick. Cause they're not. So I have rest of my B tier is Dak, Jaden Daniels. Yes, 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 folks. B tier. That's a lot for me to give the man. And I do expect a little regression from him this year. But I don't expect him to fall and crash to earth and prove that I was right all along. But I do think he will come back to earth a bit. I got Jaden Daniels in B tier. Trevor Lawrence, I think, probably more likely to perform closer to C or D tier, but I still believe in him enough that I think he's a B tier guy. Kyler, Jordan Love, and Geno Smith. I might be a little too high on Geno, but I don't know. I feel like the Seahawks blamed him far too much for a completely dysfunctional offense, especially now that I've seen what Shane Waldron's actually like. My estimation of Geno has only gone up even higher.
Yeah, so that tier is almost identical to me. Obviously, I have Matt Stafford in there. That's one of the extra guys. Was not in my A tier, so he's in my B tier. He's right behind Baker. And then Jaden, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, and Trevor Lawrence. I sent you a message earlier this week saying that I really wanted to put Kyler and Trevor in one category that was just, I'm not sure whose fault this is.
Right.
That could be B tier.
What was
it's
the,
also possible that they just suck, and I haven't.
What was the
up
name of the
yet?
Tier that I sold it? I had a good suggestion for the tier for Trevor Lawrence and
your incredibly long tier name.
Yeah, let me read it. I was like, okay, I don't think it's your fault, and I think you're good, but not necessarily good enough to overcome this. Which again, I don't think is your fault, but life ain't fair. The yeah. IDTIYFAUTYGBNGETOTWAIDTIYFBLAF tier. So that's the tier that Kyler and Trevor Lawrence, because both of them, especially now that they've been paid, it's like, it's not your fault that the roster construction is so horrible around you that you can't overcome it, but I don't know that you can overcome it, even though I think you're a guy in a good situation who would be able to overcome a lot, a bit of adversity, just not this much adversity. So yeah,
and the last guy in my B tier and the recipient of the Alex Smith Event Horizon Effect, Sam Darnold. Welcome to fucking B tier. Beautiful season last year.
That is definitely more than I'm willing to give Darnold, especially because, like I said, I watched a lot of Seahawks last year and have one, the things that I think that Geno does really well, mitigate pressure, mitigate sacks, are things that I don't think Sam Darnold does particularly well. And the Seahawks did not get much better around him.
Oh, so if this is going like based on what I think they're going to do this year, given their situation. Oh no, Sam is much further.
Isn't
down
that what
the
we're supposed? Isn't that what this is supposed to be about? Did we just
no,
say
no, no? This is not. This is not dependent on the team that is around
okay.
these guys. This is just the quarterback. But if we were going based on team result, CJ Stroud is down in the 20s.
Okay.
This is going to be a bad year for CJ.
Okay.
Because this Seahawks team is rough, and it just switching Geno Smith out for Sam Darnold. It's going to be a huge step down, but it's not going to help.
Sorry, did you have Geno in your B tier?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
he's ahead of him. He's right ahead of Kyler and Trevor Lawrence. I like Geno. You like Geno. I feel like Geno's another guy who just gets a ton of hate. Smith, another Alex Smith Event Horizon.
Exactly. I have Darnold still in D tier. I do think with the Seahawks, he's going to perform more like replacement level starter, which is still what I believe in. My
heart. If we are going on what's going to happen this year, oh yeah, he's fucked. That team is bad. But He had a fantastic season. I do think he's turned the corner to, like, very good to reliable starter, but I just, that team is an absolute mess right okay. now, and I see nothing good coming out of there.
Okay, so then your tier, which you pretty much just, so your C tier, the Brock Purdy tier, the Tua tier, I have Purdy, Tua, Rodgers, and then Goff, which we've already established that we disagree on. Who else do you have in your C tier? Do you have?
Yeah, so my C tier is weird. I put the I refuse to rank these people tier separate. That's my okay. 18, 19, and 20. So the Dolphins, 49ers, and Vikings go in that hole. Okay. I would put Tua ahead of Purdy, and then I would put J.J. McCarthy behind Brock Purdy, but I could do that. And then you could watch the season and see the statistics they put up, and you would say, well, that's silly that you put them below, like, Geno Smith and Kyler Murray. But I really don't think if the Dolphins decided to trade Tua Tagovailoa that, you know, like the Cardinals, even if you just need him for one season, are they trading Kyler Murray for Tua? Absolutely not.
No.
Do the Dolphins want that trade?
I think they
do, so...
I can't see Tua going on the road and winning a playoff game in sub-zero no. weather. I just can't see it happening.
No, and I, like, for the Dolphins overall, I
and
just
I
don't
can't see it happening with Jared
anywhere.
Goff either, is the thing. He's been very bad historically on the road in the playoffs and cold weather games, etc. Like, it's just a guy that you, these are guys that are going to put up good stats, but you have a very hard time seeing them put together a solid playoff run. And that's Goff pretty, and Rodgers, I think at this point, that's closer to what he is, too, because he's always been a guy who is more risk-averse than the truly elite quarterbacks. And now that he slipped just enough that the pinpoint accuracy isn't there and the explosive plays aren't quite there, he really does just begin to resemble a high-end game manager.
Yeah, my C tier is beautifully ranked by what the Pittsburgh Steelers think of quarterbacks. I only have three guys in there, and it goes in order by which quarterbacks the Steelers would rather have, so... Aaron Rodgers is at the top, Russell Wilson is in the middle, and Justin Fields is right below him. And there's your C tier guys. Like,
a little higher on Fields and Russ than me. I have both of them in D tier.
Now, to be fair, this puts Justin Fields at 26 out of 32 quarterbacks.
I suppose that's true. Yeah.
But I don't think Justin is a D tier. I don't think Jets fans are like, oh, we're fucking, like, this is bad. Like, there's a tiny glimmer of hope it could be good, but this is bad. I think Justin is the kind of quarterback who is going to, like, be pretty solid. You're going to have some fun watching him. You're going to win some games. Like, he's not an atrocity here. He's not going to just run out there and throw turnovers and, like, fuck the whole game up. He's going to fumble sometimes. He's going to make some nice plays, but it's all going to even out to, like, okay. You know, I don't think Jets fans are going to be trying to put his head on a platter or anything. And that's just, like, that's the way I feel about Rodgers and Russell Wilson. It's just like, I don't think you're going to want to kill these guys, but they're not going anywhere. Like,
yeah, that Rodgers is the end of C tier for me, which again is the quality starter without sizzle. I have Russ and Fields both in D, which is the replacement level / low end starter. So my D tier, my replacement level / low end starter tier is Bryce Young. Some people I know are waiting to see if he breaks out this year. I still think, my stance on Bryce Young is, it's very, very funny that Bryce Young has managed to salvage this narrative coming out of year two by being so bad in year one and by being benched right. that he's managed to turn a season where, again, I talked about, you know, adjusted net yards per attempt a lot on this podcast. It's like easily the best overall all-encompassing passing stat, and I talk about adjusted net yards per attempt plus, which compares them, you know, to a league average quarterback. So you can, if I told you just without any other context, without anything else, if I just told you, here's a guy entering his third year as a quarterback, in his first year as a quarterback, his adjusted net yards per attempt plus was 67, so he was 33% worse than a league average quarterback. In year two, he only improved to 88, which is 12% worse than a league average quarterback. You wouldn't really be going into year three expecting that guy to break out. You'd be like, yeah, it seems like, especially because history, as I've said many times, if you are not, generally speaking, if you're not at least league average in year two, it's a bad fucking sign. You don't have to be greater than league average. A lot of guys take a little bit of time, but like you know, And I guess the retort most people would point out to, of course, is Josh Allen. And if you want to compare the tools and the experience of Josh Allen to Bryce Young, you're operating entirely within delusion. So I just, like I said, I think it's incredible that Bryce Young pretty much just sequenced his mediocre career so far as to build this narrative. So yeah, I mean, I do think he's done some stuff in that he's closer to what I thought he was coming out of the draft, where I said, I just don't think this guy's going to stick, or, you know, he's going to be okay. He's going to be maybe Tua-esque at best, but he's, you know, it's, I wouldn't take this guy with a number one overall pick, because I just don't see how he ever becomes like an elite guy who carries a roster. And I think that's Bryce where, you know, a year ago, he looked like one of the worst busts of all times, complete washout. I think he's going to settle into being a low end starter / game manager who makes a couple stops along the way, but I don't see the breakout season that Panthers fans are desperately trying to convince themselves is going to happen.
Yeah, I have Bryce Young at the very top of F tier because it's still hilarious to me how bad he is and how miserable he looks out there. And yeah, I mean, it's exactly like you said. It's just this delusion based on him not looking like a complete unmitigated disaster for a few games at the end of last year. And I like, we know all about that. That doesn't mean anything. Like, it's not like a linear thing where he's just going to carry that over into the first game of this year. And
oh, is that really how you pronounce linear?
What do you say?
I say linear.
What's the difference between those two things?
Linear versus linear?
Is that really important? Like, where you put the emphasis on that to you?
I mean,
is this like a cool whip thing?
No, I mean, I think, no, I just think most people pronounce it linear time, not linear.
Linear.
Almost, I mean, linear just sounds like if you're like a guy with Southern twang, like reading Edgar Allan Poe, like the pouring over a volume, remembering his lost linear. So
what if I just said liner?
Linear.
It's a liner progression.
Okay. That's
okay. Post in the comments, folks, if you could even detect the difference between the way I said linear and he said linear.
You said linear, and I said linear.
Linear. I am not hearing it, dude.
You're not okay. Hearing a difference between linear and linear.
Linear. So we're talking about how quickly we say the word linear or linear. This is something.
I mean, it's a real Schrodinger's cat of a word.
Does the word exist or not exist as it escapes my mouth, Kyle?
Okay. So yeah, I had Bryce Young, Darnold, who else? Oh, and DT. Oh, this is where I plant my flag. Bo Nix is in D tier for me. I know people be like, Bo Nix was better than Caleb Williams, blah, blah, blah. Everyone, you know, he made the playoffs, blah, 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 blah. And like, Bo Nix was only better than Caleb on kind of like some technicalities here, folks. And they're the ones I think if you'd asked me what to expect, granted, he threw more touchdowns than I expected, for sure. Yeah. But yards per completion was flat at 10 yards per completion. That's not good. Yards per attempt was 6.7 yards. He does a great job of avoiding sacks, and I said that. And he is accurate in that he will find a completion. But, like, again, this is a guy who was a 24-year-old rookie with over 2,200 snaps in college. The question now is, do you see him getting much better, and where does that come from? And I just don't. And this is all of what that all added up to was, I think he would, hold on, what was QB EPA per play in 2024? I think he was like 20. Where did Bo end up in? Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'll talk about Bo Nix. So I have Bo Nix right after Bryce Young in F tier. You're never going to get Bo Nix out of there for me. But yeah, I mean, the idea is just exactly what we said with Jaden Daniels and what we said last year, which is these guys will be exactly as good as they're going to be for their whole NFL career in year
one. As rookies. Yeah. So, I mean, with if you're Jaden Daniels, it's a hell of a win. If you're Bo Nix,
that's totally fine.
That's, yeah. You know, he was 19th in EPA per play, or EPA CPOE, as a rookie. You know, you take that as a rookie, but again, that's with the assumption that he's a normal rookie and that he's going to continue to level up. And like, I don't, and I think fucking Sean Payton pulled out every single trick in the book to get that out of him this year. And we've seen that case before. It reminded me a little bit of the good Matt Castle season in Kansas City, you know, and we've seen historically is that second year, it's kind of hard to repeat that little trick. So,
and I mean, it's that's just a rude thing to say about the Matt Castle season. Like this wasn't even like a very good season that Bo Nix just had. Like it was worse than mediocre.
It was a bad season. It was a good rookie season, but it required. But then you have to acknowledge that this was not your normal rookie, and that it's basically if. Would you be happy if he did, like you said, would you be happy if he did exactly this again this year?
Right.
Probably not. You wouldn't be happy if your guy is QB 20.
If he does this again, Broncos fans are going to consider like this season a loss, like a lost cause. Like they're going to be feeling, you know, tremendous waves of depression.
Well, and like a guy who, again, the comparison that I kept making was Mac Jones, and Mac Jones had an even better rookie season by every metric, blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
And I said the same thing about Mac Jones. I'm like, okay, but let's see if he can do it again. Let's see if he can do better. He can't.
Right.
You got everything to align right. You built the system perfectly around who he already was. And it's the same with Jaden Daniels. The Commanders built the system perfectly around who he already was. It just turns out that I underestimated how many tools in the toolbox, or not even that, how good those tools are. I underestimated how effective Jaden Daniels could be as a runner, how effective he could be as a scrambler, how efficient he could be in quick game, and how much of an offense you can build around that. Bo Nix has fewer tools in the toolkit, and they built perfectly around what he has, but I think time's only going to show how limited that is as we go forward.
Right, and I do, I think, like, I hear people talking about Bo Nix, and I'm like, God, are these people insane? Like, are they seeing something completely different than I'm seeing? But that is what it is. It's a matter of perspective. Like, to me, I expected him to have almost exactly that season, but I expect him to always have that season or worse. I just don't see how there could ever be improvement from this guy. And other people are just saying, well, he was a first-round draft pick. They get better in year two and then better in year three. That's how it works. And they're not taking into account how many years Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels and even Michael Penix, who we didn't get to see the first year, but I guarantee the same thing would be true. These guys got to start over and over and over. They were in college forever. They played for multiple teams. All three of them played for multiple Division I football teams. They have played out like all of their learning. They did it all in the NCAA. There's nothing left here for any of those guys to improve upon that's going to noticeably raise their game. They just are who they are at this point. And yeah, like you said, great for Jaden Daniels. Like, you know, you could be the 12th to 14th best quarterback in the league for a long time off of that. That's fantastic for that guy, which is a lot more than we thought he would get out of his skill set. But for Bo Nix, this is just what it is. It's 6.7 yards per attempt. That touchdown to interception ratio, there is no way that holds for this guy, because for a guy like Jaden Daniels, which we talked about a few months ago, yeah, I think there are things you could exploit, especially with a year full of tape. But for Bo Nix, it's so much worse because there are so fewer tools for this guy. Like, there's no overwhelming ability coming off of him. And yeah, I thought like, oh, so they got the old man Drew Brees season out of him. Like,
well, and he
great,
was,
is
well,
that what you want, Broncos? It's so much worse.
Well, and he
than
also,
the old man Drew Brees seasons. Like,
he
I
also
didn't
relied
even know.
On his legs a lot more than I expect him to. And again, that for a guy who's not an overwhelmingly good athlete, that's a trick that we've seen only kind of work once, too. Because kind of like Mitch's first year with Nagy, they got a lot out of how people don't really expect him to be such an effective scrambler, but then teams adjust to that. So, you know, he had like 432 yards. Sorry, I misread yards from scrimmages. But he had 430 yards rushing. I don't know that I'll expect him to do that again.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just...
It's so much smoke, and there are so many beers yeah. for that entire Broncos season last year.
But the thing is, the thing about that, though, is I do expect... I think the Broncos are going to have just a hellacious defense again. They added, you know, Hufnagga. And I like that roster. And Sean Payton is a good coach. So I think it could be another situation where we're sitting here and the Broncos again have won 8, 9, 10 games with him averaging 6.7 yards per attempt. And we're going to be in the same thing where it's going to be QB wins versus yep. QB stats. So I wouldn't surprise me if we're still having to make the argument for why Bo Nix is not as good as his record next year. But yeah, I'm not. The Broncos fans can point to the scoreboard for now. That's fine. But I'm not owned on Bo Nix. I'm pretty owned on Jaden Daniels. I'm not owned on Bo Nix. Fuck you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so also my D tier. Yeah, I've got Russell Wilson. I don't have much left to say on that. Fields, again, I think at this stage in his career, he's just a replacement level starter. I've already planted my flag on Michael Penix, too. What's weird is I've seen some narrative that, like, Michael Penix looked pretty good, and then I was, like, looking at the numbers, and I was looking at the tape, and I'm like, really? Like, one 300-yard game in overtime where he didn't even complete 60% of his passes against the Panthers? Like, that's what we're going by for he looked pretty good? Like,
we're holding on to hope with that one.
He was entertaining, certainly, and we said he would be. Like, he's a bombs away stationary. Yeah. Like, again, he's like if you put Drew Bledsoe in 2024 NFL, but I don't think that's going to be good. I think even the Falcons are hedging their bet on that. That's why they didn't move Kirk Cousins at all. So I don't know. I don't see the Penix thing. I saw nothing in his rookie tape that made me more enthusiastic about him as a NFL quarterback than I was on him as a prospect.
Yeah. I have Penix grouped below Caleb and Drake May. In that second year QBs who are good, but I think are probably good.
Yeah, I guess
can't
so.
Can't be certain yet group.
Yeah, my guys that I'm not sure, they're not all second year, but my guys that I'm not quite sure where to rank them, not quite sure what you're going to be. Obviously, Caleb Williams, obviously Drake May. Less so McCarthy, JJ McCarthy, I have in this tier, but I'll be honest, I think his ceiling is C tier. You already just went ahead and put him in there with the like system QBs.
Well, how are we going to know? Because he's on the Vikings, right? Kevin O'Connell is going to drag him to it.
And then I unenthusiastically put Cam Ward in here because, as I said, when evaluating Cam Ward on the QB draft issue, it's like he does sort of barely meet the threshold in a lot of ways of a guy who maybe there's a quarterback prospect there. But I don't really buy that there is, so I don't think he'll still last. I think by even after his rookie year, I might be like, I think this guy just sucks. But I'll give him that this year. Caleb and Drake May obviously are two guys that I was very high on as prospects. Both had rookie season. You know, I would say both of them had what I would consider to be good rookie seasons in an ordinary year where you don't have Jaden Daniels doing what he does and Bo Nix making the playoffs. I thought Caleb and May both looked promising. Both in bad situations. Drake May still kind of in a bad situation. Caleb hopefully in a much better one. They get one more year to be non-entities, but Caleb especially, you know, if he's not good this year, doesn't have to necessarily be great, but if he's not an league average or better quarterback this year, Caleb moves from this tier to concern tier next year for sure. Drake May situation's a little bit more of an excuse, but again, needs to be probably at least average. But I think both of them can do that. My money would be on both of them doing that.
Yeah, I have my second year QBs above C tier, and I have Cam Ward below that. And I was very tempted to put Cam Ward below D tier because he is going to have a miserable fucking season. Like, we're not going to be able to tell exactly. We're not going to be able to tell anything about Cam Ward on that Titans team. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's any great shakes anyway. So it's going to be a hell of a year, man. Like, this is going to be Bryce Young first year levels of tragedy for poor Cam.
Yeah. And then, okay, who do you have in F tier? Who's just bad for
Travis?
Oh, wait.
I didn't have any of those guys in D tier. I have one thing in D tier, Kyle.
Just one,
and it's time once again to talk about the Alex Smith event horizon, because it has never been wrong, Kyle. And we have got so far since Alex Smith. Hold up. Let me. We have had Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Ryan Tannehill, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold. All five of those guys have qualified. Now, folks, the Alex Smith event horizon, because now it's actually a thing with 100% hit rate, especially since Sam Darnold nailed it last year. You have to have six completed NFL seasons rostered on a team, which is a lot. And within those six seasons, you have to have started at least 50 games. The only reason, the only exception to this is Geno, and that's because he had been on teams for nine seasons before he had his breakout year. So there's a little bit of wiggle room. You can trade some years for games, it would appear. Anyway, 50 games started over the first 6 years of your NFL career. And in the seventh year, you will magically cross this event horizon, beyond which we cannot see what the fuck is going to happen with you. And usually this results in just a huge, huge boost to your statistics and your ability as a quarterback. Now, I think the reason this happens is because, and this only happens for first round picks, I should say that. I didn't say that first. This doesn't count for second round picks. It's all first round picks. Basically what this is just talented guys, guys with all the talent in the world who are maybe dumb as a box of rocks or are not used to the NFL or aren't gaining the proper amount of experience. Something about getting through that sixth NFL season seems to guarantee that you just get it. You're a good NFL quarterback. So like I said, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Ryan Tannehill, Geno Smith. Last year it was Sam Darnold. And I mentioned that during this QB rankings episode. I said, Kyle, if there was ever a person who was a candidate to do it, it's Sam Darnold, because he was crazy talented coming out of college. And he just completely busted. He crossed that 6 year. His seventh year, he looked fantastic last year. I mean, there are obviously mitigating circumstances for that. Minnesota has a fantastic wide receiver core. They have a great offensive coordinator, but it did happen. There is a dude who is crossing it this year. There is one candidate, and this is the true test, because this is not a supremely talented individual like Geno, like Ryan Tannehill, right? Like Sam Darnold. This is real. This, I feel like this could be the exception that proves the rule, but he's crossing the event horizon. Daniel Jones has completed six seasons. He has 50 plus starts. This is his seventh year, and he is in a quarterback competition with Anthony Richardson. And Kyle, I have to come out and say it. I think he's winning that competition, and I think he's looking good this year in Shane Steichen's offense.
I think
it's too good for him.
I think he wins the competition by default, but I do not think he looks good. I think he breaks the rule. Because Sam Darnold, as you said, supremely talented coming out of college, ended up in an abysmal situation. Geno Smith, supremely talented coming out of college, ended up in the Jets didn't even really want him, didn't give him a chance. Alex Smith was the number one overall pick, for very talented. Ended up in a truly laughable situation. The 49ers around that time were just god-awful. Daniel Jones, not a guy who should have ever been a first-round pick. Should never have happened. Talent's never been. The fact that he's continued to do this is mind-boggling. But he is a guy that I think just, like, no, it's just not going to happen. I refuse to. But like, I want to put my faith in the Alex Smith event horizon, but I refuse to put my faith in Daniel Jones. I think he's going to be the exception that proves the rule, like you said. I have both Richardson and Daniel Jones. And it stings us to put Tony in F tier, but like,
I just think he's fucked.
Yeah, he's out here. Did you hear his rap song, Travis? Like, he.
I did not.
Oh, you gotta look that one up. I mean, he's got it. The shoulder surgery is back again. I don't see him getting the reps he needs. And again, at a certain point, like, we just need to not be in denial about how inaccurate this kid is. I talked about it coming out of the draft. I wanted to get all the way there with Anthony Richardson, and I just couldn't, because, like I said, I couldn't hand wave away how inaccurate he was on short throws. Because people were like, oh, his completion percentage is partly because he goes deep so often, blah, blah, blah. And they're still doing that. But, like, if you look at it on short throws, he's still historically inaccurate.
Yep.
Like, it's just – and we saw with Justin Fields, nowhere near to that degree. But, like, this is not – that's not something you can fix. It's just, like, it's – this is – that's the kind of stuff that, like, you should already have when you come to the NFL as, like, an innate trait. And I don't see – I didn't see any signs last year that it was ever improving. I don't even know how you would improve it at this point.
I mean, what we said still holds true, I think. And it's that Anthony Richardson needed snaps and snaps and snaps. And he was going to need at least three full seasons before he turned into like the final finished, you know, maybe potential version of Anthony Richardson. And he had that injury and he's just not going to get that time. He's not going to get that time now. He got 1 year. And I think it's it. I think that's it, man. Like, I think we're done with this experiment. I think Daniel Jones is just, I think he's going to look so much better than him in camp. And I don't think we're ever going to find out what Anthony Richardson could have been. He needed so much more time than he is going to get from Indianapolis.
Well, and I just think, I mean, I don't even know that I believe that anymore. I think we'll never know, but I just think like sometimes it's truly a bridge too far. Like it was probably too much to ever expect a guy who was that inaccurate to fix it. I know Josh Allen is the mold, the hope there, but like it's just, yeah, I don't know. I just have him down as bad. I think it's better for me to rip the Band-Aid and just say like, no, I'm not holding out hope.
Salute to you, Tony. Gone before your time.
Also, in totally unfair world, I already have Tyler Shuck and Jackson Dart in this tier, but like, come on.
Can you believe his name is Tyler Shuck? Can you believe that's how you pronounce that?
I can't.
That's fucking insane.
Also, I refused to rank anything to do with the Browns. I just refused to even discuss it. So
yeah, so I mean, the bottom two spots have to be... what order do you have that? Because to me, I actually have Tyler Shuck below what I...
Yeah, I mean, I would think... I would expect whoever... I would expect whoever wins the Browns job to be marginally better than Tyler Shuck.
This is so comically unfair to New Orleans, what happened to them. Like, they draft Shuck. They don't think he's... Like, they don't even know if this guy is ever going to be a starter, right? You just draft him. You stash him away. Maybe he's the heir apparent to Carr in a couple years. Or, like, maybe not. Maybe you just draft a guy then, right? And instead, Carr... after the draft, retires on him, and now the only quarterback they have is rookie Tyler Shuck. This isn't fair to him. This isn't fair to the Saints. Oh, this is a disaster. This is a throwback to the Aints this year is going to be. And then, yeah, like Cleveland, I mean, this is the funniest shit that's ever happened to an NFL franchise. Like five quarterbacks, all of whom could potentially be your starter this year in week one. Like what do you even do? How many quarterbacks are you going to roster? When do you eliminate the first guy? Right? Like does Shedeur Sanders get cut like on second cut? Like what are you going to do, Cleveland? That's what I want to know. This is really what I'm watching.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's to be clear, I'm glued to that train wreck. I just think the funniest thing about a five... Like, if the old adage is that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, what does it say when you have five? Like, come on. Like, you're going to do all this, and it's going to be breathless. We know how quarterback competition, every single snap is going to be breathlessly covered by the media and everything. And
by me, yeah.
They're going to end up just, it's going to be bad. And that's the funny part, is it's going to be a 2004 Bears situation where probably at least three of these guys will end up making a handful of starts for the Browns this year.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's, oof, boy. But yeah, I refuse to rank that because I just like, okay, whatever. Whoever comes out, it's bad.
It's a disaster. That's it. And I, you know, just before we sign off, I did want to say goodbye, as is now tradition, to the guys who fell off the list completely this year. Say goodbye to Will Levis, Kyle. Goodbye. Will Levis getting surgery because he's not going to be a party to this bullshit. Gardner Minshew. Can you believe Gardner Minshew was a starter in the NFL week one last year? We are going to forget that. I almost forgot it before I put his name down there. And finally, Kirk Cousins, apparently the backup in Atlanta. Would not be shocked if he was starting by like week five.
Yeah, he'll get some starts. I feel like that's inevitable. So
yeah, but also welcome back to Justin Fields. We said goodbye to you last year. That's true. Welcome back, buddy.
Now you welcome back. Welcome.
Unimpeded. If you had told me last year that this year Justin Fields would be on yet another team and he wouldn't even have to compete for the starting job, I would have shit blood at that idea. And somehow, no competition. It's just Justin Fields is our guy for the New York Jets. What the hell happened between last year and this year to cause this situation?
I mean, kind of just like nobody wanted anything to do with Mitch Trubisky the year after he left the Bears. Yeah. But then he got 1 year to rehab on the bench for a good organization in Buffalo. And then the Steelers gave him an actual contract. Like, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess. Being, especially when you're looking at this quarterback draft class, which was just fucking abysmal. A try-it deal for Justin Fields doesn't start to look so bad. So
that's true. Honestly, huge dub for the Jets because, like, you know, almost the worst case scenario is you go like 9-8 or 8-9, right? Because a pretty good scenario if you're only winning three games with Justin Fields, if you use him to tank, because this is a much better quarterback draft class.
It's a perfect signing if he plays badly, because no one can ever accuse you of trying to tank when you gave Justin. Right. I think you had hope for the guy, but like if it doesn't work out, that's cool. You've tanked. If it does work out, congratulations. That's like finding a 20 in your spare jeans. Like, you've got this guy that's still young enough to potentially be your long-term starter, and the league just let you have him for nothing.
That's right. So weirdly, good job, Jets. Nicely done. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Those are all the quarterbacks in the NFL ranked.
Okay.
Do you have any bold predictions? I mean, mine is obviously that Daniel Jones is going to be good. He's crossed the Alex Smith event horizon.
Bold prediction.
You're kind of averse to bold predictions, especially after Jaden Daniels. Yeah, I understand it.
Yeah. Let's make one though. Let's do it. Bold prediction. All right. Let me pick a guy that. Do I want to pick a guy that's going to do way better than people think or way worse?
Ooh, that's a good question.
My bold prediction right now, fuck it. I think Jordan Love has kind of a bad year this year. This is the vibe I'm getting. And it's not just because he's a Packer. I just like, again, we talked about this on the draft a little bit with Nick. The truth is that Jordan Love has been in the NFL as long as Justin Herbert now, and people keep talking about him like, when one of these days it's the Jay Cutler thing where people are like, one of these days when he figures out how to be the good Jordan Love all of the time, he's really going to do stuff. And I think like the inconsistency is baked in, the inaccuracy is baked in. And I'm not as high on the Packers infrastructure as I have been the last couple of years. So I could see Jordan Love. I mean, we'll never get so lucky as he flat falls in his face, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was maybe the worst of the 3 years that Jordan Love has been a starter for the Packers.
I think it's funny that the Packers fans always say that. They always say, well, if he puts everything together, man, he's going to be great. But they never look at the inverse of that coin. Like, okay, but what if all of his bad tendencies
what if the good ones regress? Yeah, exactly. And again, this is, like I tried to point out, this is a guy who, you know, was one of the four least accurate quarterbacks in the spreadsheet coming out. The inaccuracies followed him all along. We said that, the gap between his adjusted completion percentage and his actual completion percentage was like really wide in a way that's unusual. And, you know, again, year two, he had some struggles. He had some inaccuracy issues. I just think, like, at a certain point, he just obviously, I mean, he averaged 8 yards per attempt. 25 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions. you know, a 96-point defensive quarter. He was very good. He took hardly any sacks. Like, that's by far the best thing about him. So, yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, he was still good, but, like, people are just, they hand wave away the inaccuracy and the bad decisions sometimes, and they just keep expecting to even it out. But I think there's, he's got 33 starts under his belt. He is 27 years old. Like, at a certain point, he is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Jay, he just has that Jay ability to, like, have a good season, but it's so much easier to put together a highlight reel of his comically bad throws than it is his, like, really impressive ones. You know, you have to dig for those, like, oh, he really threaded the needle. He put that right on the money, right where he needed. Most of his good throws are, like, badly broken coverages because he avoided sacks for so long. Yeah. That he can heave it downfield and there's a wide open guy.
Yeah, the sack prevention is legitimately elite. That's the number one best thing about him. So can't take that away from him for sure.
Yeah, you will never take that away from Jordan Love. He is a slippery devil.
So, all right. Well,
all right. Bold predictions and the whole
here we go.
QB
next
rankings
week,
are done.
Next week we should have like a whole week of actual Bears camp to talk about. We'll talk Bears the whole way through, folks. We'll see.
Will I finally pick up drinking? Tune in next week.
We'll see. Way out on that bumper road. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. I sure do hate to go. Now you don't leave.